Shelter, tower of refuge. And Lord.
Let's praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's nothing compared to the promise that we have in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If y'all will give me liberty this morning, Lord, just guide us. I just feel His presence this morning, and I know there's needs in this congregation right now. Comfort, protection, healing, carrying us through journeys that we're being told maybe it's very painful or it's going to be difficult. But we know a Savior. We know Jesus. We know a God. We know the great I Am. And I'm going to ask y'all, if y'all will stand, we're going to do Jesus in lieu of a congregational, and then we're going to pray. But I want to come back and hit the chorus with the praise team and help us in the choir on what they just sang. But there's one name, and one name alone, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. By one name, by that name. And I just want us all just to worship the Lord this morning. And you may feel like everything's fine in your life right now. But as we look around and we see our brothers and sisters that are here, those that are watching live, there are those cries that are going out to the Lord right now. Or maybe they don't even know who to cry out to. But we know Jesus can touch them. We know He will strengthen them and carry them through, carry us through, no matter what the burdens are, what the needs are. But y'all just sing with me. Just praise the Lord with all that you feel. Just let the Lord lead your spirit this morning. Let the Holy Ghost have a free reign. Let's do Jesus.
Shout to the Lord.
Lord, I know that you're in this house, dear Lord. I know that you're in these vessels. Lord, I praise you this morning. Lord, let your Holy Ghost, dear Lord, minister each and every one of us. Lord, your Spirit. Lord, we just love you, dear Lord. I know there are those in need. Lord, I know there are those in situations, dear Lord, that only you can touch. Only you can provide. Only you can change. Lord, only that you can protect. Only that you can nourish. Only those things that you can provide. And dear Lord, our spirit, dear Lord, is lifting up, dear Lord, and we're just asking you to minister each and every one here. Those that are watching on the live feed, dear Lord, or at a later date, Lord, may they feel your holy presence, dear Lord. It is not about us, dear Lord. It is all about you. Lord, you've blessed us so much, dear Lord. You've given us such an opportunity to gather in your house. And dear Lord, as your word goes forth this morning, dear Lord, as your word is read, and dear Lord, as we are receiving it, dear Lord, may it just continue. Dear Lord, just to let your word bless us, dear Lord. Let it guide us. Let it direct us, dear Lord. Lord, I ask you to mend those broken vessels that are here this morning, Lord. Those with loss. Those that are going through procedures, Lord. Those that need your touch. And dear Lord, for us, dear Lord, just to praise you. Dear Lord, because we don't know what others are going through. But Lord, we thank you for your presence. And Jesus, in your most powerful name, we call on you. Dear Lord, and we thank you, dear Lord. And we just praise and worship you. In your name, Jesus, and we all say, amen, 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 amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise your holy name. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, thank you. And you may be seated if you can. I know that was a little out of the norm, but God is great. Just want to follow His will in everything that we do. I want to say something to you now. If you're not in Sunday school, you need to be, because I love you here. I love you watching on live feed, but if there's any way you can do a Bible study or come join us for Sunday school, because God's Word is powerful. It is a roadmap to every situation in our life, and He is giving us His Word from the beginning of His Word to the ending and forever and evermore. We're just going to go ahead and just continue to worship. I thank y'all for letting me get us out of the norm. And may we never be locked into something that God can't use us. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offerings. I have couple of announcements real quick. Men, Band of Brothers, any of your brethren that like to be part of us, don't forget October 17th. It's two Saturdays from now. We're going to be going to Alabama to a lake. Brother Billy Gaddis, he's willingly guiding us over there. We're going to have a little sheet that will be put out. We're just asking just so we get a commitment, if you can, on how many we're going to have so we can kind of prepare the things we need. But I'd like to ask all the brethren like to be part of it or are part of it. If you give me just like maybe 5 minutes after church this morning, we can just meet after we'll have to just take just a minute and we'll get together. I just need to get some information from you. But guys, if you're not involved, we'd love to have you. Even if you can't make every meeting or you can't, it's just a once a month thing. But if you just want to be with us and be in text where we can pray and help each other, but I'd like to have you. And those that are just coming that Saturday, no commitment. We'd just like to ask you to join us. And don't forget about the Samaritan's Purse and also our food closet. As you know from the situation that happened downstairs with the water, it's going to have to be some things replaced. And just want to ask anyone, if the Lord leads you, you'd like to donate some dry goods to the food closet, now's a good time. And also monetarily, for those things that are perishable that have to be replaced, we thank you for all that you're doing. The Samaritan's Purse, the Christmas shoebox that we're doing, and all the other ministries. I feel like I leave others up. Our Overcomers Outreach, don't forget our Thursday night. Invite someone. Let them know if they need it. Brother Keith and Sister Ashley, they had the cards. They got everything you need. I think there's some back in the foyer. And there are a lot of other announcements. Oh, great. We're getting back to choir practice this afternoon at 5 p.m. If you'd like to join the choir, today's a perfect day to join. I love each and every one of you. And if there are any announcements, we try to get them on the screen. They're going to try to scroll them a little bit as people are coming in the mornings before they start singing. And also, we can announce the ones that have to be done from here. But if you have an announcement, please give it to us so we can have it in writing. I have the worst memory, guys. But God loves me anyway. So praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please?
Thank you. circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of me. That I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all my victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross
Anybody didn't know, it's already down. Amen. It's already come. Ever since the day of Pentecost. Amen. The Bible said it filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. How many's glad and thankful that we can have the Spirit of the Lord abiding in us? Amen. If you love the Lord this morning, let Him know it. Give Him a great big hand clap for praise. So good to have you with us this morning. Appreciate each and every one of you. Good to see visitors we hadn't seen in a while. Let them know how welcome they are and how much we love them. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, has God been good to anybody this week in the house? Amen. Praise God. Love you so very much. We're excited today. We're having a baptismal service. Amen. Sister Emily's going to be buried. Amen. This morning. Looking forward to that. And resurrected as well. Amen. Looking forward. If you have your Bibles, though, we just want to go right into the Word of the Lord this morning. I'm going to take our text from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6. Thank you for standing as we read the Word of God this morning. Man, can I just tell you that just wasn't quite the same walking into the church this morning. Very dear friend, very dear saint of God, precious man of God, is celebrating in heaven today, also with his wife and those who went on ahead of him. Brother Vic Woodley, we will miss him tremendously. He was always the very first person that I saw when I came into the church. He was always sitting right there in the same place. Just a very faithful, loving, gentle, kind-hearted man of God. And we're so thankful to know where he is spending eternity. Amen. And we're going to see him again one of these days. Just wanted to share that with you. Pastor gets used to looking and seeing folks sitting in certain places. And when they're not there for that reason, then our hearts are a little bit saddened by that fact. But there's joy in my spirit to know that where he is today. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 19, if you have your Bibles and want to go there with us, again, from the first of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verses 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul writes, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for this day and this opportunity to come into your house to worship. For all those who have gathered here today, and Father, I pray, God, just open up your spiritual window, God, and pour out a blessing and an anointing upon each and every one here. Father, we do pray for those who are sick. Many are afflicted. Some are suffering, God, in hospitals, in nursing homes today. And we pray, God, that you would comfort them, touch them with your healing power. Bless those, God, who are traveling. Keep them safe. God, I pray, Lord, that you would draw those who are lost and undone today. God, the world is in such a shape. And Father, I pray that you would prick the hearts of those who are unsaved. Father, that they would find an old-fashioned altar of repentance and come to you before it's everlasting too late. And Father, we just humbly ask, God, that right now you anoint these lips of clay, God, to be a vessel and an oracle to speak that you would have us to hear this morning, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. One more clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I never tire of glorifying and praising the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's done so much for me. He is the very reason that I am here today, and we thank you for being here. If I had a message title this morning, it would be simply Paid in Full. Paid in Full. Let us look at the Apostle's writing here, and the Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. And he's talking about something, and he brings up a topic here. Basically, he is just talking about the sins of the flesh, and some of those things that he mentioned prior to this. And then he asked the question, what? Do you not realize, do you not know that The body in which you have is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is from God. And I believe that when I was reading and searching these scriptures this particular week, I began to think that seemingly there's so many people today that don't realize that their temple belongs to God. That God formed us and fashioned us from the dust of the earth, the Bible says. We were nothing until He breathed the breath of life into our nostrils. Then we became a living soul. Many have adopted the idea that they're their own person and can do whatever they want to do, go wherever they want to go. And certainly we have that liberty because God Himself has given us a free will. He made a mind to think and a free will to choose whom we will serve and how we will particularly go about our daily life. But He has also let us know through the Word of God that we need to relinquish this temple, open up the heart's door, and invite Jesus Christ into our life as both Lord and Savior. So the Apostle Paul here mentions this. I want to go to another time, if I might. I want to go to a day when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary. He had prepared His disciples, told them exactly what was going to take place. Now He was experiencing that destiny that God chose Him to do. He came to this earth to bleed and die, not because He of His sins, not because of things that He had done or the things in His life, but He did that for you and me, the temples that you and I are. Jesus Christ came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary for us. And I want to press your memory here just a little bit, you Bible readers, and remember the full events that happened as Jesus was hanging on the cross after He had already been beaten, bruised, and He was just a mass of blood and bruises and things that they had done for Him, not because of any of His wrongdoings, but as Brother Jim often says, one of those stripes belonged to me. I put those stripes on Jesus Christ. As He was hanging on the cross and the sun was going down, it was almost time for Him to depart from that body of flesh. And you remember He said, I thirst. And they dipped some vinegar or a sponge in some vinegar and held it up to Him to kind of moisten His lips. You remember, after this, Jesus' last words from the cross was, it is finished. Now, I want us to think about that for a little while today, and I want us to keep that in mind as I attempt to bring this message. The last words that Jesus spoke from the cross was, it is finished. In the original Greek language, in the writing of John, which was translated into English, the word was tetelestai. Tetelestai. This was the word that the Greek used that Jesus said, "With it is finished." It was more of a phrase rather than just a one-word translation, as is the case in many a times when the Greek Hebrew is translated into English language. The English language, those under King James, when they translate it into the Word of God, they use sometimes a one or two word phrase when in fact in the Hebrew and in the Greek it went much deeper. And this was the case too. It was more than just a one word phrase or translation. Thus, it is translated into English as it is finished. But I want you to understand, and I want to share this with you, it goes more into detail. Rather than it is finished, it also implies that something has come to an end. It gets better. It has been completed, perfected, accomplished in full. The effects of which, y'all pardon me, I'm getting Holy Ghost chill bumps. I said, I'm feeling the power of God. I'm feeling the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm feeling that what many folks thought when He said it is finished, they thought His reign was over. Hey, it was just beginning. Glory to God. The effects of which will endure on and on. I think that needs to be read again. Maybe with a little less excitement. I'm sorry, I just get excited. Says it is something that has come to an end. It has been completed, perfected. Glory. Let me just pause. The plan of salvation is a perfect plan.
not fashioned by man, not comprised by any preacher, amen, but God Himself put that plan of action into place. How many knows that it has never changed from the very beginning? It is not going to change for me, and it's not going to change for you, but I got news for you. We can change for the gospel. Amen. Completed and perfected. Accomplished in full, the effects of which will endure on and on. And they went ahead to give an example. How many loves examples? You know, I am so thick-headed that I need examples sometimes. I can read a definition. I can hear the meaning of something. But when they write it out or print it out and there's an example of it, how many knows what I'm talking about? And then I say, oh yeah, I can identify with that. The example given was in this particular day and time. And let me tell you, debts and loans have been around for a long, long time. Somebody said they're still around. You mean some of those debts today? You know, when I went to buy a car, you know, they say, how many months you want it for? I said, I want the car for a long time, but I don't care about the months of payments, you know. I want to get those things over as quick as possible. We can put you in a car for 72 months, all this other, and on and on and on. And, you know, I'm thinking, my goodness, I won't ever get that thing paid for. But during this time, an example was the payment in full of a loan or a debt or a bill or a transaction in which a written receipt was given with the words, paid in full. When that last payment was paid, when that last obligation was met, when it became completed, when it became perfected, Jesus said, it is finished. He said, tetelestai. Tetelestai, meaning it is completed. It is perfected. Your sins have been paid in full. The sin debt that man has incurred or accrued in this world has been paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, there was not enough money to pay that debt. There was not enough property to pay that debt. It took the blood of a sinless human being, which held the body of Christ Himself, filled with the Spirit of God, to bleed and die on a cross, to become the sacrificial lamb for you and me. Somebody ought to shout, praise God, it's been paid in full. Somebody ought to lift your hand and say, glory to God. I'm so thankful that the sin debt has been paid. If I'd had to pay it, I would have still been paying for it. But Jesus Christ gave that receipt. What receipt, brother? The Word of God. Paid in full. Paul uses this analogy and reminds us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's been so many sermons preached on the temple or the body in which the Holy Ghost fills and illuminates and gives us life in our spirit to walk with the Lord. How that we are to keep our body. How we are to take care of our body. How we are to present our body unto the Lord, knowing and realizing that it's not our own. We have been bought with a price. The Holy Ghost, which comes from God. We are not our own, Paul said. We have been bought with a price, a precious price. A price, by the way, that you or nor I would have ever been able to afford the price to pay for our sin debt. But I want you to understand that even though the sin debt has been paid in full, we still must come openly and confess to the Lord Jesus Christ with a contrite and broken spirit, realizing that we can't pay our sin debt. It is too great. It is too big for me. I'll never get it paid. I'll never be able to make enough sacrifice. I'll never be able to pray enough prayers. I'll never be able to attend enough church services. I'll never be able to present my body. But Lord, you did it for me when you gave your life on the cross. When that precious shed blood went running down the cross and fell. Somebody says, I want to be bathed in the blood of Christ. If you've received the Holy Ghost, you have been bathed in the blood of Christ. His blood now flows through my spiritual veins. Hallelujah. I remember years and years ago, I won't tell you how many because Sister Penny would get mad at me. But back when we got married, somebody said, back in the good old days, I said, what was so good about them? I grew up in hard times, one television. Three channels. Then they added UHF. Twist the antenna, see the ball game. Hard days. Rotary telephones. Remember those rough days, anybody? Record players. I'm talking about grandkids, record players. What? What's a record player? What's a record? All those rough times. Penny and I had the opportunity to build a house on Daddy's property, and we went through the procedures and looked at that debt. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my life was over. Here I have married a woman, and I got to pay for her the rest of her life. And now I got to pay for where she lives. And you're going to laugh at me because when we got the transaction done and the papers back, and I can tell you exactly what the payment was. It was $226 a month. And I looked at her and I said, honey, we won't ever get this thing paid off. Do you realize that we won't be able to go out to eat? Do you realize we won't be able to buy no clothes? You can't go shopping. You can't go to the nail salon. You can't get your hair fixed. Y'all can imagine what she told me. But somehow, over the years, the debt began to go down. We realized that after a while, if you pay like a payment and a half, that half kind of goes to the principal and it pays down. I remember a 30-year loan. And I told him, honey, you know how old I'm going to be when we get this thing paid for? It's going to be ridiculous. But sooner or later, that debt was paid. Because we did make sacrifices. We did readjust our lifestyle. We did prioritize our spending. And thank God he made a way and gave her a good job. And we finally got it paid. And I thought, Lord, I'm so thankful that you're not like that. Lord, I shudder to think that it would take me 30 years. In fact, it would probably take me more because I know the sin debt that I had. That's the reason I'm so happy today. That's the reason I'm so thankful today, because I had a monumental sin debt, a one that I could not pay. I tried to figure it out every way possible, but I couldn't do it. I promised God I'd be better. I promised God I'd be more faithful in church. I promised Him that I'd try to read the Bible and try to live a life. But it seemed like the more that I tried, the bigger my sin debt got. I wasn't able to do it. But that's the reason that Jesus Christ said, bring me your debt. I will pay for it on the cross of Calvary. I think somebody in the house today needs to realize what a great price that Jesus Christ Himself paid for our sin debt. How wonderful it is. But I remember when we got the final payment, when we got the deed, and we were so happy, so joyous about that debt that had been paid. And then I remember the night in Rockmore, Georgia, at my granddaddy's church. I had hit the altar many, many times. But I hit the altar because basically I just kind of felt guilty. I was sorry, but I really wasn't wanting to change my life. I can't help but think a lot of folks today maybe are not as serious when they hit the altar as they ought to be. Maybe they've had a rough week. Maybe they've had a bad year. Maybe things have mounted up. They're feeling a little bad in their spirit. And they just want to kind of ease their conscience a little bit. And I had gone to the altar that way. And I'd feel good for a little bit, 3 or 4 weeks. But I found myself back in the altar doing the same thing over and over again. And I realized one night, I can't even tell you what the preacher preached, because God was dealing with me before I ever got to service that night. He was dealing with me before the singing ever started. Man, thank God for an altar. Thank God for His convicting power. Thank God that He loved me in spite of all of my sin, in spite of all of my wrongdoing, in spite of the many times that I'd come and cried and felt a little bit better and got up and went home just as lost as I was when I came. Not because of the fault of God, but because of my fault. I hadn't learned to yield. I hadn't learned to relinquish my spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was something different about that night. In my mind, I was tired of trying to pay for my wrongdoings. In my mind, I was trying to say, Lord, you know what? As often as I've said I'm sorry, I still feel that guilt in my spirit. Because I hadn't truly confessed to the Lord. But that night was different. That night I went to the altar with a mind made up that I'm not leaving. When you get serious with God, He's serious with you. I thought in my mind, I am not leaving until I get fully satisfied. I am not leaving until I lay down every heavy burden that keeps me awake at night, that keeps me understanding and knowing and being very fearful that if I closed my eyes, that I may never see the light of day again. And I was concerned about where my soul was going to be. Amen. If you're that condition today, if you're afraid to go to sleep, if you're afraid that if you drew your last breath of where you might spend eternity, let me point you to the one who paid my debt. Let me point you to the one who says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His name is Jesus. And that night, I met Jesus in a special way. Not only did I ask Him to forgive me, for I have sinned, and Lord, I'm so sorry, but I asked Him with an open door. Prior to that, I prayed with my door still closed. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. But what I was saying, I really don't want you to come in and be Lord of my life. My wild oats are not over with. Come on, have you ever been there? You want forgiveness, but you don't want a change of life. That night was different. That night was different because I wasn't concerned about going back to the same lifestyle that I came that night. Let me tell you something, folks. You can sit in a pew in your church all your life and still be lost. If saving folks just got them in, I'd lay the microphone down and I'd go bring them in physically and set them in the church. But that doesn't do it, because that's not the temple. So I used to think sitting in church made me holy. I remember as a little bitty boy when the preacher got to preaching about hellfire, I slid over my mother. I knew she was saved. I knew she was ready. And I guess I figured if the Lord took her, I was holding on. But I found out that doesn't work. Come on, you can't go to heaven on mother's religion or dad's or granddad. It is a lonely walk that you have to come to an altar of confession. You have to come with a broken and contrite, broken spirit and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am wrong. I know that I've sinned. But I know that I have a debt that you can pay. And not only did I confess, but I opened up my heart's door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prior to that, I could just about tell you who was praying with me. I always knew my grandmother was praying with me because I had the whelps on my back when she would pray. If you could beat the Holy Ghost into anybody, my grandmother could do it. She beat me on the back, beat me in a spiritual way, but you know, I was thinking, Lord Jesus. And I could hear one of the saints saying, give up, give up, give up. Then somebody said, don't you give up, don't you give up. Keep praying. much is it? Because my mind wasn't right. I was there just because I wanted the Lord to make me feel better, to ease my conscience, get me through another week or two. When the things got so bad, I'd come back and do the same thing over. Kept adding to the debt. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. But that night, I'm sure my grandmother was around somewhere, but I didn't know it. I'm sure some of the same saints were praying with me and praying for me, and old mom and dad was praying with me. But that night, I didn't know. I didn't realize it. I got caught up in something that I had never witnessed before, something that I had never experienced before. I opened up my heart's door. I didn't just crack it open. I opened it fully, completely, said, Lord, come into my life. Not as only a Savior, but as my Lord too. And He came into my life. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I became a temple of the Lord that particular night. And I can't tell you how wonderful that felt to know that my sin debt was paid in full. The apostle said, what? I look at folks today, I say, what? Do you not understand? Do you not know? You don't have to live in that lifestyle. Do you not realize that you don't have to live in pain and misery and a guilty conscience? I believe that denominations today have made it so difficult for people to get saved. It's not that hard, folks. If you think it's hard, it's because man has done something to put stipulations on it or this and that. But let me tell you, what I read in the Word of God, whosoever will. Oh, hallelujah. You don't even have to be a church member. You don't even happen to be, amen, a good person. In fact, that's the reason Jesus died on the cross. For people like me, that I could come to an altar of repentance and have my sin debt paid. He used this analogy because he said in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Then he mentions neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, or drunkards, or revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Before we close the doors on sinners and try to make them live like us, let's remember where God brought us from. Let's remember where God pulled us out of a miry pit of clay. He then established our goings. Amen. It took the Spirit of God to clean me up. I could never do it. The preacher couldn't do it. My grandmother couldn't do it, but Jesus did it. I said, Jesus did it. If He did it for you, put your hands together today with love, amen, and appreciation. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He goes on to say, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, and also will raise up us by His own power. Then he gets real serious. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He began to address something specifically here. Why? Because if you read history during that particular time, and I know our children are downstairs, but I'm trying to be as deep as I can and still not offensive. But during that time, people's lives were bought for the pleasures of men. That's just the true case. And they could identify with that because they had no say-so in who bought them and the price that they paid for them. And Paul knew that, and he addressed this, and he likened it to the church. He likened it to people, us, that we have been bought. And in being bought, we are indebted to Christ. He is our master, and I'm okay with that. Amen. I was a slave to sin. Now I'm a slave to the Master Jesus Christ. Amen. I want Him to have His will and His way in my life. Why? Because I'm no longer my own. I have been bought with a price. My lifestyle changed. My communications changed. My voice changed. Amen. In that I don't like the things that I used to do. I don't desire the things that I used to do. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm saying He that is within me, the Spirit, is perfecting me. Man, and that sin debt that I owed, so great a debt, He paid it in full. So when Jesus hung on the cross, and those around Him saw Him bleeding, saw Him bruised from the stripes that they laid upon Him, Brother Jim, I know that His many followers had to be affected tragically by seeing their Lord and Savior in such a condition as He was. But I can't help but think there were some of those magistrates, some of those Pharisees and Sadducees that were so adamantly against the ministry and against Jesus Christ and denouncing Him as the Messiah, could not help but feel a sense of relief to know they called Him the Beelzebub, a rabble-rouser. Now He's off the scene. He's out of the way. So when Jesus uttered the words, "Tetelestai," it is finished. The Sadducees and the Pharisees said, "We're rid of Him. It's over." And I can't help but believe that old Satan himself said, "I'm victorious now. We've done away with the Son of God." But as interpreters need to be today, the interpreter should have said, "He's not talking about it is over. He's talking about it has just begun." What was He saying? "It is finished. My mission here has been completed. My mission here has been perfected. My mission here, the destiny that I had on the cross of Calvary, has been met and has been paid in full. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is completed. It is paid in full. So, as He said those words, and as they took Him down, you remember Bible prophecy? They went around and those malefactors that was on the other side of Jesus on the cross. And, you know, it wasn't the nails that killed the one that was being crucified. It wasn't the spear that was riven into His side. It was asphyxiation. It was because that little pedestal that they had, they would push up and the diaphragm would be free, in other words, to breathe. But after so many hours of pain, those legs begin to give out. And sooner or later, it would basically smother them to death or asphyxiate them. And if they didn't die fast enough, the Roman soldiers would come around with a great big club and they would break their legs so that they could no longer support themselves. But you know, the prophet said, "Not a bone will be broken." That wasn't happenstance. That wasn't a coincidence. That was prophecy. But when they got to Jesus, "It is finished." Hey, not that I'm dead. That's not what I'm talking about. Not that I'm leaving the scene. But I have just paid in full the debt sin for all humanity. Will you receive that receipt? Have you received that receipt?
Have you asked Jesus into your life as both Lord and Savior? Have you been filled with His Spirit? If not, it's paid for. It's paid for. Glory to God. How many of us found out a brand new car was sitting down there with a receipt paid in full? How long would it take you to run and get that car? Not very long. Not very long. And I know some of us,
well, does it have gas in it?
Come on, you can't satisfy everybody. But they got there and Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. I'll never look at those words again in the same frame of mind. Because we read those so many times, it is over. No, it is completed. Jesus has stepped in. Amen. When we needed a Savior, He stepped in. Imagine the shock on Satan's face when that stone was rolled away. And out came Jesus, glorified, ready to be glorified, ready to ascend into heaven, loving us, stretching His arms out. Jesus is our Savior now. The Bible tells us at one point in time He's going to be our judge. Right now He is our Savior. Will you accept the payment in full? Will you take the receipt that Jesus Christ Himself has given us, assuring us it's paid in full? Can't tell you, after that house, but we kept looking, man, it's paid in full, it's paid in full. I'm so thankful now that I can look into my life, into my heart, and say, Lord, thank You for paying my sin debt. Paid in full. Are you still struggling? Are you still trying to do it in your own way, by your own actions, by your own righteousness, which is really not righteousness? Because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It means it's no good. It's no good. Amen. But what Jesus did is better than good. It's perfect. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't put Him off. Don't put Him off. Don't wait. Don't just try to be a good person in your life. You can be because of salvation, not in order to earn it, but to be thankful for it. So a way that I read it, the only way that we can be saved and our sins washed is through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you know that and you love Him, give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to ask our music to come. Sister Emily, if you want to come and get ready over here for a baptismal service. Amen. Y'all give her a hand. We're so precious. Thankful this lady. Amen. So y'all play something. Amen. And I'm going to go back and get ready to get into the water. Glory to God. Amen. Sing whatever you want.
This is a glorious time. Family, if y'all want to come closer and get pictures, you're welcome to do so.
Rugged tree hanging there between two thieves, my Jesus paid a debt for me He did not owe. But by His grace I'll make it home, and by His love He saved my soul. My Jesus paid a debt for me He did not owe. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Debt for me I could not pay. My debt was growing every day, and I there was no way to overcome these trials down here below. Oh, but then one day he set me free, opened my eyes where I could see. Yes, Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Yes, Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay. Yes, Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay.
Such an honor, Bish, here. Special time is baptism. Special time is those that have given their life to the Lord and dedicating to Him and letting Him just come into our lives, His Spirit and His life. This altar is open if anyone needs prayer this morning. Powerful message, powerful time. It is wonderful to see each and every one of you. I guess for the parents or grandparents just picking up your kids, I guess you saw them come in. So if you need somebody in the nursery, you'll have to still go over and check them out. So that'd be wonderful. Praise God. Love you. Just want to just ask the men again, if you would, that want to be part of the Band of Brothers or are part of the Band of Brothers. Let me see you just for a couple of minutes. I just got to ask you just two questions. Or anyone planning to go into Alabama with us? Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed.
Brother Jim.
I'm sorry.
I told Sister Joanne Thurman texted me and said that her mother, they were transferring her from Carrollton to Emory. And if we would please pray for her.
We'll pray. We'll include that in our prayer and all the other prayer requests that's gone forth as we dismiss. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Dear Lord, thank you for paying that price in full for each and every one of us, dear Lord. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we just praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you so much for allowing us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, your word is powerful. Dear Lord, your word is strong. And, Lord, we just honor you. Lord, thank you for letting us be part of this service this morning, witness this baptismal ceremony, this child. Dear Lord, we just ask you to just continue to bless her as she this walk that you have planned for her, dear Lord, and we just praise you. Lord, for these spoken and unspoken prayer requests this morning, Lord, we just love you, and we praise you, and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. All the guys is planning just for a minute.